Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. And welcome to another episode of Glass Half Full, a podcast and a safe platform where we talk with a variety of teachers, entrepreneurs, spiritualists, uplifters, givers, shakers, and serenaders. Everyone has a lesson to learn and a lesson to share. Let's use our life experiences to enrich someone's heart, mind, spirit, and soul. Through sharing our experiences, we can be a learning inspiration for one another. I'm your host, Chris Levins. Let's welcome today's guest. Today's guest is Sensei Sage Hall. Sage is a healer and guide who uses karate, yoga, reiki, mediumship, and empathic counseling to help others along their journey. Let's give a warm welcome to Sage. Good morning, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for being a guest on Glass Half Full. We're happy to have you today.
Thank you.
Well, let's jump right on in. The first thing that I want to ask, and I ask all my guests, is our lives are in a spiritual design. So can you share your life layout or your blueprint with everyone? How you grew up and where, about your family life?
Okay. I was born in Columbia, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. I have both my parents. I didn't grow up with them both in the house the whole time, but I grew up with both my parents. I knew my grandparents. I actually knew my great grandmother from my dad's side. So wow. I knew her since, I mean, she died in 1994. So I basically grew up with Granny.
Wow.
And later in life, I found out that Granny was born in 1894. So Granny was the first person in my dad's side of the family, that first generation born out of slavery.
Wow. Now that's pretty amazing. Ooh, okay.
Because her parents would have been slaves.
Wow. Are your grandparents still alive?
My grandma on my dad's side is still alive. My grandparents on my mom's side of the family, they all passed away.
Wow. Okay. And where's your family living?
My dad and most of my, general family still lives South Carolina. Mm-hmm. My sister is in North Carolina and my mother's in Texas. My brother is like a world traveler now. So I think he's currently in South Carolina.
Okay. Okay. Wow. Everybody's all over. And where are you? Mm-hmm. Tell everyone where you are.
I am in New York.
All right. New York City.
Harlem, New York.
Harlem, yes. New York City in the house. Hey. Nice, okay. Nice, nice. Awesome. Well, let me ask you, just getting into a few questions. Did you recognize anything in your life that was in need of adjustment or change?
Oh, definitely. I think that, that's a big question.
Take your time.
Because I feel like, as a person who's embodying in multiple identities, I think what happened in the end of 2019 to 2020 was all of those identities started to, where they were intersecting, mm-hmm. was causing challenges. And I realized in my life that as a person who lives and is embodying the way that I'm embodying, there were all of these places where I was not empowered.
Wow.
Where I didn't feel I had the opportunity to be empowered. There were spaces where I just was like, oh, I feel like I'm invisible here. There were all these things that were coming up. Mm-hmm. And what I was receiving from the world was, it's time to focus on you, move with you, and try to figure out what you want to do in the world. And as I started asking myself that question, I couldn't even answer it because I recognized that I feel disempowered. I feel like if I go into the space of power, I've been taught to look at that as being wrong or bad.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And so a lot of the work that I've been doing is saying, is really dropping into real deep levels of self-acceptance.
Hmm. Wow, that's important too, to be able to accept ourselves just as we are.
Which is hard when some of the parts of yourself you don't have words for.
Hmm. Wow.
And I feel like what happened in 2020 was, wow, there's this, like, the world was only seeing 10% of myself, of mm-hmm. who I am. And there was this 90% that the world was saying, you can't, no. Mm. And I, at the time, was thinking that 10% was my 100%.
Mm. We had it backwards.
Completely backwards. And so as I started doing the work, I'm realizing, like, because I'm trying to accept myself without blaming, shaming, or degrading anyone else who doesn't accept me.
All right, now. Yeah, that's real work.
And that's hard because I realize, like, I don't really like people. And it's not that I don't like people. It's like I have that reaction because when I walk in front of a person, you know, for people who don't know, I'm a Black person in America, which is challenging, mm-hmm. a queer person, and a trans person who people perceive as being male. Mm-hmm. And so navigating all of those spaces in a world that's pushing against you can create this dislike. And so what I'm trying to do is saying, okay, I dislike these, I call them humans, actually. I don't see myself as a human. So I'm like, I don't like humans. And okay. So what I'm trying to do is to really look at what is really going on. And it has something to do with the other people. It really has to do with me. It really has to do with my own ability to be okay with who I really am, mm-hmm. even though the people around me are not going to reflect that back.
Wow. How did you figure out that this was what you needed? That it was you?
I think it was luck of the draw.
Because a lot of people are stuck in this, right? They don't know. They don't realize they're looking for at other people, or they're blaming other people. And, you know, sometimes we have to stop. And it's different for everyone to realize that we have to look inside first. You know, what we are projecting is what we are receiving, you know. And so sometimes we have to work on ourselves. But everyone, sometimes people don't realize that it's them that has to be worked on first before they can get what they need to get. So, yeah, it's
really difficult. I feel like I'm going to add another identity, people. I'm also an empath, which I know may sound like new agey and whatever, but it's an actual real thing.
Right? We say it's for real, people. It's for real.
It's a real thing. And so, the work that I've been doing on understanding that part of my identity, mm-hmm. has brought me to this space where I realized, like, so an empath is a person who's highly sensitive to their environment. Mm. Meaning, when an empath walks into their environment is affecting how they are experiencing that moment.
All right, now.
And so, an untrained empath, what's happening is the environment is causing that untrained empath to change themselves so that they can feel comfortable.
Mm. Wow.
And so as I started to work on what was really going on, so I'm a trans person. And so one of the things that I realized is that, because when I was a child, I really confused a lot, right? When I was a child, I thought all gay men were women inside.
Okay.
That's how I rationalized how I was feeling.
Okay.
Because there were no words for me to wrap around that. And so I live with a lot of confusion. And so as I'm diving into my empathy and being like, oh, there's this confusion thing, I realized that I wasn't confused. Mm-hmm. I always had a sense of who I was. I was picking up on this person said something to me and my response wasn't in alignment with what they thought I should respond with.
Okay, now.
It was confusing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that came up, I would change myself so that they wouldn't feel confused, because I thought, well, at the time I thought that I was confused, but it's a whole like confusing thing. So as I come back into this understanding, I'm like, oh, okay. The world is feeling a whole bunch of things, mm-hmm. and that's affecting me. Wow. And so what I have to decide to do is I have to decide to be myself. So if I'm going to be who I really am, that means that I'm going to walk around and the world is going to be affecting me. And so what can I do for me so that I can deal with those things? And I think that when I came up with that understanding, that's when it started to change. Mm-hmm. So if I go into a situation and someone calls me a gender that I'm not, it's not their problem. I don't deal with what they're going through. It's not my problem that they don't know who I am. That's not my problem. I always present myself as who I am, regardless if I have a 5 o'clock shadow or not, period.
I know that's right.
So what I do in that moment is that moment brings up feelings. Mm-hmm. I deal with those feelings. Why, Sage, are you in this moment feeling upset? Like, this person called you a boy. What's wrong with that? Like, does that mean that you are less than who you are?
Exactly.
Like, I counsel myself on what I'm going through. And so when I started doing that, then I realized, like, I need to stop worrying about what other people are feeling and start focusing on how I'm feeling.
Yes. Yes. Because we can't please other people and we'll never be able to. And it's too much work to try.
No.
It's too much work to try.
What kind of life is that? I mean, people are in the closet and it kills them.
That's true.
Like, we're not thinking about that mental stress that person is going under in a closet. As a person who recognized their transness as an adult, I realized as an adult, like, oh, this is a lot.
It is.
We are expecting a human being by themselves to figure it out.
Yeah.
And that's not okay. And so what I decided is, okay, I am a spiritual leader. I'm a teacher. I did all these things to put myself in this level of being. I'm going to have to do something for myself so that when someone comes into my space, they are never going to go through what I went through as a person. I will never make you feel less than. If there's something about you that I'm confused about, I'm going to talk to you about it, because you're never going to leave my space feeling like that person did not look at me.
Wow. And that's everything. That's everything. Because there are people who are, you know, all over the world who are dealing with this, different ages, different groups, different shades of their skin. And yeah, it shouldn't have to be this hard. It shouldn't have to be this hard. We are all human people.
Definitely. And in the age, well, yes. And what I want to resurrect is rites of passage.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to be a person where...
Break that down. Unpack that for us. Rites of passage.
I want to be a person that helps, because rites of passage help you understand your journey, understand where you're going and why you are the way you are. It's like gives you opportunities to self-reflect.
Okay.
And I feel like queer people sometimes don't know where they are going.
Hmm.
Like, we're just living life. For just running through the thing. And I'm like, we are here for a reason. We are here to bring authenticity. We are here to bring awareness. We're here to bring, you know, truth. There are so many things that we are here to bring. Mm-hmm. And I want to get to a place where we can celebrate that. Where that person says, yes, I am this. And so we're going to celebrate this so that we can help you step into this journey.
Yes. Yes. Well, let me ask you, who's been the most influential person in your life, or people, I should say, if there's more than one?
I am inspired by millennial LGBTQIA people.
Hmm.
Because watching these young people come out in a world of such restriction and just blatantly be themselves, they go through the work. You know, the reason why I have words to just myself is because these younger people figured it out. You know, do you know that there are like 20 sexualities?
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
There are like 20 sexualities. So, for example, you have a deep relation with relationship with your straight male friend. Like, that friendship is really deep. Mm-hmm. These millennials are like, that's a relationship. That's actually real. That means that you are romantic in your friendships. Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But in our generation, when I came from, that would be a little bit of a challenge.
Well, they would classify that.
This thing.
Yeah, they would try to throw that into a...
It would either...
You're gay
challenging
or...
that person's sexual... Exactly. Why can't people just be themselves? Why can't... What if we're here to deeply connect? Mm-hmm. And these young kids really inspire me on a daily basis. I learn about myself from millennials.
Wow, that's powerful.
Opening my mind to my experience, they've healed me in such a deep way.
Wow, you hear that, millennials? Wow, that's powerful. That is powerful. Wow. So, can you tell me what does success mean to you? What is your to me? And of course, this is like a huge question, right? Like, but you know, just in short, what does it mean to you?
Success to me means being in alignment with what I am here to do.
All right.
Because I feel like, well, not just I feel, the work that I do with clients, when I work with a person and we're empathically connecting, what I'm receiving from most people is that their soul being, their true self, mm-hmm. the trueness of who they are wants to come here and have experiences. Mm-hmm. And success is that. So a person working at McDonald's could be in alignment with themselves mm-hmm. and be a whole person and still be valued if they are as much as a person who is a surgeon, who is in alignment with themselves. Hmm. The soul wants to have a full experience. And when that soul has an experience, then that is success.
Wow. That's a great answer. That's a great answer for sure. Definitely. Wow. Well, let me ask you this. For you and your life at this point, is your glass half empty or half full?
Half empty. I mean, if you were to ask me this question when we lived together when I was in my 20s, I would have probably said half full.
Okay.
But now, as a 40, going to be a 43-year-old person.
Yes, in 40s. Moment, yes.
I realized that I don't really know anything. I've learned stuff. So in my, I do this practice that I call, that me and this person I'm working with called development. Mm-hmm. And we have these protocols that we follow. And the first protocol that we have is, this is the beginning. You don't know anything.
Wow.
And that is there because what we're doing is development is helping us understand our own empathic self. And to do that, I have to recognize that all of the skills and the tools that I have been built have really been built in an understanding of confusion around my empathy.
Wow.
And so as I come into development, if I want to develop a moment, something happened and I'm confused on what's happening, and so I'm going to use this practice that I have to help me understand what's going on, the first thing I have to understand is I don't know anything. This is the beginning, because that allows me to really go in the moment.
Yes. just to break that understanding of feeling that you are vulnerable to feel that, yeah, I don't know nothing.
Because that's powerful.
Submitting yourself in that way.
Yes, that's where we have problems in our world, is that people think they know everything.
That is so
yes,
true.
Yes, you have acquired information, but you don't know. Do you know what it's like to live on Venus? What it's like to be underneath that much pressure?
Right.
Like, we don't even know how to go into the deepest part of the ocean to experience that much pressure. We have people who want to delete other people's experience because to deal with their experience is too much pressure. Mm-hmm. We can't even deal with the dynamics of the planet that we have. How are we going to do that?
It's so true. It's so true. Yeah, they don't have a plan for that.
First thing is, if we as humans, say it again.
I said, there's no plan for that.
Well, we don't know anything. If we can approach it as, I'm learning this for the first time, even though I have knowledge about it, we're going to see the truth. We're going to open up our mind and recognize the holisticness of things.
Wow. To put yourself in a humbling experience, you know, sometimes the ego getting in the way of pride and, you know, like you say, people, I have degrees or I went here and I learned this or I've sit on this committee or I've studied this. And, you know, in the end, you're right. It's information sometimes more than actually.
I mean, and it is valid.
Yes, it's true. It is valid. But
aren't we here to live?
Yes.
It's like I don't have any degrees. But when I go and teach a child, there is this real experience that's coming out. I am seeing something that's happening because there's this thing that I'm engaging with. And when I talk to people who have master's degrees in education, we're having a similar conversation. So I'm like, okay, so what's the purpose of us? Is our purpose to sit here and go to school to learn, or is it to experience, to be in the moment?
Yes. And you know, a lot of people are not in the moment. Not being in the moment, don't know how to get themselves to be in the moment, living in the future, living in the past. You know, it's a real thing about being in the moment, seizing the moment.
Which is hard in a technological society that we live in.
It's true. It's something that I work with for myself. I can't speak for others, but, you know, really having to engage and taking time to make myself present. And it's something that I've been learning, you know, to be, because sometimes we are present, but then we're like gone off somewhere, you know, and then you come on back later like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, so just trying to be there and stay there and really feel that you're in the moment.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
It's hard. Even as a person who does practices that, it's hard. It's hard to be present. Because it's sometimes uncomfortable. And I think that's the thing, that's the important part that I'm working with. Mm-hmm. It's like, why is this present moment uncomfortable? And then really looking at that.
Yes.
And really having words for that. Because I think that sometimes we're like, oh, that's uncomfortable, and then just move on. And then when someone asks us what's going on, we don't even know how to explain that.
It's so true. And, you know, I always feel that just being, you know, truth plus transparency equals healing, that if you're able to really put yourself out there, you can have a chance to really be healed by it. You know, like, we have to be willing to go there, you know, and sometimes people aren't ready to do the work. They're just not ready to do the work.
I mean, it's not that they're not ready. I don't think that I think that that's our interpretation of it. I think that it's not that people are not ready, is that the world that we live in does not even require people to do that. So how? It's like what I'm teaching in development to the client, to a student, is that he gets upset over something that he's never learned. And I'm like, no one handed you this ball. Why are you upset at yourself? Mm-hmm. Why don't we look at this as, okay, people have never been able to give this ball so that they could be in the moment. And so now, why don't we, as people who are finding out this, oh, we have to be in the present, what are the things that work for you? Let's form this ball so that we can actually hand it to a person and then teach them how to do that.
Yes. There's that communication. Mm-hmm.
It's hard though if you don't have words for it.
That's true. That's true. In closing, do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
I know that I brought up a lot of things that, or identities that might make people feel excluded. What I want to recognize is that the work that I do with empathy is really to recognize that as a human race, we are all empathic beings. And the moment that we as a complete race fall into that power is the moment that we are going to change all of the things that are going on and find out a way to find true equality and balance on this planet.
Yes.
I seek to bring that balance. I seek to help people recognize the powerful self that's in.
Yes.
And anybody who's willing for that, willing to go on that journey, contact me and we can figure something out.
Yes. Tell us how, tell us
that power.
How can we contact you? How can we find you?
I don't currently have social media.
Okay. Understandable.
I just realized, well, because after we started talking about the podcast, my intuition was saying you need to start to reevaluate this rule that you created.
Hmm.
So I currently don't have social media. I'm going to work on something. You can contact me through my email, happysoul78@gmail.com. That's happysoul78@gmail.com.
Yes. Thank you, Sage, for being here, being one of our guests today. I really, really appreciate you and appreciate you being here and just sharing it with us. It's been awesome.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to express, you know, some of the things that I've been doing to help my own self. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. And thank you to all the listeners who've been listening in to Glass Half Full, a safe platform for everyone to share their lives and experiences. Once again, I'm your host, Chris Levins. Please subscribe, follow, and rate this podcast for more learning experiences. Until next time, be blessed.